and welcome to the T3 podcast in a sweltering T3 Towers. Yes, our aircon is bust, but we're still cool, right? Yeah?
Never been cool.
Coming up on this week's show, it's BlackBerry picking time, five new handsets, or is that two? And one new OS. We've been checking them out. We've got an iPhone 5. No, we haven't. But some networks have. And delays to the PS Vita. What was that sound? It still does sound like a sanitary product. PS Vita. Who chose that name?
And no, it's like a biscuit. It's like a diet biscuit.
An emergency biscuit, perhaps. And the game plots you've played a million times. Look out, Doug! There's a geometric brick falling from the sky at a jagged yet predictable pace.
It's okay, I'll just rotate it to fall neatly into this penis-shaped slot that I have left for exactly this eventuality, thereby scoring maximum points.
All that, and not a penny more. So let me introduce my co-host, the lovely Ree Morgan, and the man who pulls the wings off butterflies for fun. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
All right. Moths, I do.
Pull moths.
Wings. I've got
you?
Bloody moths. I've got those moths.
You've got moth balls. Yeah, I remember you telling me them.
Absolute nightmare.
But you've got posh ones, haven't you? They only eat your nice clothes.
They make a beeline for my expensive jumpers.
Mmm, cashmere.
I've nailed Poshmark, like kind of old t-shirts and socks. And, you know, I'm just like, moths, you may gorge on these as much as you like. And they're like, nah, mate, and whatever. I'm all about the cashmere. Bastards.
Swine.
If you see any moths, kill them for me. Yeah. Listeners, that's what I'm saying.
Especially ones covered in cashmere.
All moths must die.
Cashmere munching ones. Anyway, Dunk, your week.
My week, same as last week. I'm getting to know my new friends, the HTC sensation.
You're still banging on about this.
Well, I am, because I'm discovering new and annoying things about it as time passes. The battery life is really poor. But I'm trying to get to the bottom of whether I've just got a duff unit, so I've got in touch with HTC. But it does seem to, I was speaking to other people, and they said, our battery's really bad.
Bigger the screen.
Does yours get really, really hot?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think those two things are related.
Mm. Mine gets really, really hot, and I have to turn the screen resolution, like the screen display.
I have to turn off everything. I basically have to turn off reception, you know, like forget about turning off, push email and syncing. I have to turn off
everything.
I basically, the phone.
Till it becomes
basically
a sort of a cool paperweight.
I just with the aircon being off, it is quite a substantial thing, so I can fan myself quite nicely with it. But not being able to use it at all, that's a little bit annoying. I'll tell you what's really annoying.
Go on.
This is the most stupid king design feature anyone has ever introduced on anything in the history of technology, I think.
Right.
I'm going to say. And that is the virtual keyboard. If you use it in portrait, as I do, and the main thing I use a phone for is, to be honest, because everybody says the HTC Sensation is so much better at making phone calls, that sort of thing. And it is. But you know what? I don't make phone calls anymore. I entirely communicate through text. My favoured medium, really. As anyone who reads my column every month will know. And listens to this podcast, they'll be like, well, you're much better at writing than you are at talking. Shit at talking. Shut up. Anyway, what was I talking about?
The keyboard.
Keyboard.
Yeah, if you do the keyboard in portrait, and you type it away, the space bar is immediately above the thing that turns off the keyboard. It's like, for Christ's sake. Kind of a moron came up with that. If you haven't got fingers that are like, I suppose if you attach little sort of golf tees to your fingers, you have amazingly narrow fingers. Look at my fingers.
Have I got
fat fingers?
No.
I've got a man's hands, you know? Yeah. They're quite big. Mm. Everything in my body's on proportion, but they're not huge. They're not grotesque. And every single time I type like a text or an email or my column or whatever it is I'm doing on this phone, yeah, bloody, like, every other sentence, it turns itself... It's like, who... In the name of Christ, what were you thinking of?
Well, I'm glad you got that off your chest.
Good. Yeah. And I hope whoever's listening...
HTC.
Like, the guy, okay. HTC.
From HTC to all things RIM.
Hey!
Every time!
Shouldn't be funny. After the unveiling of BlackBerry OS,
let's really get
7?
Into this, Dan. Yeah. Come on, let's really explore.
The BlackBerry Torch 9810 and the BlackBerry Bold. Good. 9900. The Bold lands in less than a fortnight's time on the 18th. You have been playing with it. What can we expect?
I was really excited. I was there at the press conference. We've got five new phones. It's like the biggest launch. And I got very excited. And then I saw the Bold in Florida back in May.
Yeah, I was like, hang on a minute.
It's just two new phones.
So we're down to four new phones. Then they show the next one. It's like, I've seen this one before as well.
So I'm just, let me just clarify. So we've got the Torch 9810, the Torch 9850, and the Torch 9860.
Yeah.
Then we've got the Bold 9900. and the Bold 9930.
Yeah, but it's for US and Europe, so one's GSM.
So basically we've got the 9810 and the 9900.
No, the 9810 and the 9850.
Oh, I'm lost.
So you've got the touchscreen, fully touchscreen, 9810.
That's the torch. Yeah.
And then you've got the torch with a keyboard and a touchscreen, which is the 9860.
Right.
And then you've got the Bold,
which
is the 9900, which hasn't got flippy up. It's just a keyboard and a touchscreen, but in the shape of a Bold.
So it's kind of like three new phones, but we've seen...
One before. So there are two new phones. Like I think the... the 98, I hope it is the 9810, which is a touchscreen only one.
I'll tell you what, they're going to run out of numbers before Apple does.
Yeah. But that one's replacing the Bold, numbers. I think. That one's replacing the Storm, sorry, the touchscreen only.
Got it.
And the Torch, the one with the keyboard and the slide-up touchscreen, is exactly the same as the Torch before, apart from OS.
You're following 7. This at home?
Good. I'm glad we clarified that out.
Yeah.
So, we'll get onto the phones.
But so there's some new BlackBerries.
We've got a new OS. That much we know.
It's not new again. I saw it in May.
But you've properly played with it now? It's in its final iteration?
I've played with it for 5 days in May in Florida. But it is... they keep banging on about liquid graphics.
Explain.
I don't know what that means. Apparently it means that the menus go quicker.
It did. I've watched your video. I haven't physically touched these, but I've seen your video. It did look quite slick. There was no perceivable delay.
No.
Whereas you were quite often when we do these product demonstration videos, you go, and all you have to do is slide this up here, and you kind of go, and nothing happens. So you go, if you just slide again with, and then eventually something happens.
Yeah, but it was very quick.
You know, it was faultless.
It's because I'm a pro, Dan. Well, it's not
of
a phone.
Course, of course.
Magic hands.
Okay, so it's quite graphics. Slick.
Yeah, they've got Facebook 2.0, which is their new Facebook.
It's got chat.
It's got Facebook chat now.
For the first time.
Augmented reality. It's now in there. I didn't see that working because the old excuse is like, we're underground, it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's like, okay, fine. And then I think that's
about it, really.
It.
Yeah, okay.
So really, these liquid graphics of which you speak, does this involve, whereas you flick through menu screens, do they... animate in some way?
No.
Okay, good. Because that's another thing I hate about this. Because the thing about the iPhone is you just flick through and it just flicks. Yeah. Whereas with this, they put a slight 3D effect.
Yeah.
So it's like a rotating cube. As a result, I don't know, the difference in time must be microseconds.
But enough to annoy you.
But those microseconds really bloody stack up over the course of... And also, when you go out of the lock screen, the menu sort of swirls towards you.
Mm.
It's like, don't swirl towards me, mate. Just turn on. I want to be able to read my messages and write a message. You know, it takes a very long time to write a message due to the thing that I mentioned earlier.
You keep, keep closing it.
So good. So what the hell is liquid graphics then? What does that mean?
I don't know what it is. It means that the menus go quicker. So like when you go, you know, in a BlackBerry, you can...
Yeah.
Basically, you've got the favorites, your downloads, your media.
Yeah, yeah.
The five panes. So you go through that, and apparently that's quicker. Mm. And browsing is apparently 4 times faster as well. Okay. But I don't know where they come up with these stats.
They always four times faster. Apple are the masters of that. Yeah. So, this graphics chip 16 times faster.
The new Bold, then, that's the one we're going to be seeing first on the 18th, free on a £31 a month contract for 2 years. I mean, that's not free.
£31 a month?
That's bondage specific. Or something like that.
That's not bondage.
No, I don't think it is. It comes, so it's 300 minutes, 3,000 texts, and 500 megabytes of inclusive data, as I'm sure you'll all be pleased to hear. It's thin, 10.5 millimetres thick, thinnest.
It's the thinnest Bold.
Thinnest Bold ever.
Ever, ever.
It's touchscreen, of course.
Yeah, it's touchscreen now, and they've still got that guitar fret style keyboard that they've got. It's a nice look. It's a good looking phone. But at a press conference, it was so funny. No journalist knew how to work a BlackBerry. You know, because it takes a day, doesn't it, to kind of figure out how to work a BlackBerry. Everyone's like, I don't know how to do it.
Now, if we'd done that 3 years ago, then everyone would have had BlackBerries, and they'd all be well in tune.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so the 9810, which we don't know exactly when it's going to come out. Again, it's thin, not as thin. 14.6 millimetres.
Yeah.
And
that's fully touchscreen.
Yeah, 3.2 inch. So, I mean...
Do their touchscreens work all right now? Because the first generation terrible...
Now that their liquid stuff is on it, then great. Yeah.
It's better than the Storm. It doesn't have that terrible clicky thing. Do you remember that
Yeah, that was really awful. But then the second generation was much better. And
yeah, but it looks really good. So it's very slim.
Is this, would this be enough to tempt you away from Android or iPhone?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
It's tricky. I would love to go back to having a proper keyboard. But I also would not love to go back to having something the size of my head in my pocket. Well,
they're smaller. But the point is, if you have the proper keyboard, either it's that slide thing, in which case you've got like something, you know, this sort of size of a club sandwich, or it's the bold, in which case you've got a tiny screen.
I know, it's tricky. And I unfortunately, as you can tell by my face and clothes, aesthetics rule my life.
They're good looking phones. Okay. I'll give them that. And then
BlackBerry fans will be
pleased.
They're
good looking on a shelf, if you know what I mean. They never look right in your hand. They never feel right in my hand.
Good.
Back to my hands again.
Kind of analysis everyone tunes in for. Plenty more where that came from. So let me say, here is the news. The iPhone 5 is being sent out to mobile networks for testing. That's according to a report in The Guardian, which says security is so tight that the phone is being delivered in a sealed box and wrapped in a dummy case to prevent images of the device leaking online.
Griffin has launched a rival to Apple's iPad 2 smart cover. Woo-hoo. This name is just hilarious. The Griffin IntelliCase uses Apple's tri-fold and magnet concept, but adds polycarbonate to offer more protection and show less wear. It'll be on sale later this month for a penny shy of £40, a fiver more than Apple's polyurethane effort.
That's good, because that polyurethane thing, it marks the buggery.
It's just, mine's awful. It's
terrible. Strike the PlayStation.
That's weathering.
Strike the PlayStation Vita off your Christmas list. Despite suggestions in October launch, AP reports that Sony's executive vice president, Kaz Hirai, has revealed it won't land outside Japan till early next year. So find yourself a friendly Far East importer if you want one in your stocking.
And the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1 has arrived. Woo! It went on sale at Currys on London's Tottenham Court Road on Wednesday. If you're after its smaller brother, you don't have long to wait. Amazon has listed this Galaxy Tab 8.9 for release on the 12th of August.
Apple has confirmed UK pricing for its forthcoming iCloud storage service. The cost of extra space on top of the 5 gigabytes of free allowance starts at £14. The service is set to launch alongside iOS 5 in September. It's already been opened up to developers.
And finally, who'd have thought it? A story this week which claimed Internet Explorer users has a lower IQ.
Believable.
And everyone else is in fact a hoax. Oh. After being picked up by The Telegraph, Daily Mail, Forbes and us at TG.com, it turned out the stats company Aptiquant, which put the story out, was completely made up.
Oh, my God.
Aptiquant is a great name for a quaint, statistics company.
Yeah. Basically, they nicked the website of a perfectly legitimate statistics company, changed the name, and, like, you know, so it looked like a believable website. I think that's what threw everything.
People want
the
to
BBC
believe that,
covered
don't
it,
they?
Yeah, yeah. It seems, you know.
It has the ring
apparently
of truth.
The BBC went, yeah, well, everyone else says it. The BBC, like, they got complaints and then, well.
Ah, yes.
True.
Good old fact checking. Time to see what you've been tweeting to at T3DOTCOM.
Yeah. Olofando P, who's also called Pappy, says, logging on to T3.com has made me want the BlackBerry Bold 9000 so badly.
9900,
sorry. Any idea for pricing as pay-as-you-go, on pay-as-you-go?
Expensive, yeah, I would imagine, really because expensive. The contract price is not exactly generous.
Expensive for 2 years. Pay-as-you-go. Well, yeah, no, because pay-as-you-go, the pricing would just be what the pricing is on pay-as-you-go, wouldn't it? It's just the handset is going to set you back quite a lot.
It'll be a mildly subsidised handset price.
I reckon you're looking at £500.
You could be in that realm, I would say.
I reckon.
The Sensation came down in price this week.
Because of your rants.
Because it annoyed me.
I should imagine.
Word has got out.
Yeah.
Ree.
Yeah. I've got Mahik Ganatra. TT.com, just started listening to the T3 podcast a few weeks ago. Loved it so much, I listened to every single episode. Also, first tweet ever us.
Well, this is this really is his first ever tweet. This is the second person who's been inspired to join Twitter just so they can tweet us. But I'm more interested in what it says in the middle. Listen to every single episode. Does that mean since he's started listening? Or has he gone back?
Because he basically ruined
his
life.
First episode that you listened to.
Yeah.
So
just started listening a few weeks ago. So, you know, have you listened to a few weeks worth of podcasts or, you know,
like five
nearly 200? That'd be epic.
Every single episode does kind of suggest... Because they are still all available on iTunes. If you want to find out what we were talking about 3 years ago, pretty much the same shit.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Big Benji, otherwise known as Ben Walton. Can I have a retweet for my new world record?
Can I get a retweet?
For Tech Irons, I'm your man. And then he's provided a little link, which it transpires... is a link to the Guinness World Records page. Mm. And Ben has set the new record for the longest... so it goes through the link and then there's a little bit of info there. It says, the longest ironing marathon was 75 hours and was achieved by Ben Walton in Asda Supermarket Andover on the 6th to the 9th of July.
That's amazing.
2011.
Congratulations.
So well done, Ben. So round of applause.
So we've got an Olympian now, a world record holder.
There we go. Yeah.
And then we had something like a diplomat, didn't we? Or Prince or something?
I imagine.
Yeah, I think Prince listens to it every month, every week.
The artist.
Yeah. On the Facebook group.
I'll tell you what, they really know how to enjoy themselves in Andover, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I should send my iron in to Andover. Maybe.
That might be the most depressing world record that's ever been achieved. In Asda, 3 days of non-stop ironing in Andover.
Not even in Asda, in the car park.
Was it in the car?
Well, they didn't allow him in. That's dangerous. Could be electrocuted.
Sure. On the Facebook group, we've got someone's put up a poll. Sean Wilkes put up a poll for Gadget of the Week.
Yeah, but I didn't understand what this meant.
What's
a proper Gadget of the Week?
Well, quite. I ask you, but the top response is there is room for the odd genuine scoop mixed in with the made up gadgets. We don't make them up every week. There was like the one. There was the Xbox 720, and it wouldn't strictly make it up. We were talking about a future gadget that we're pretty certain is gonna, you know.
But I think sometimes it's the one nothing, and only time that's happened.
Sometimes nothing arrives.
No, exactly.
There is no new product.
No.
Maybe what he means is that every week it's almost like. We're declaring what our number one gadget at the moment is, but
which is
came out this week or not.
True. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we're just...
If
we're
during the week, like, all that comes in is some Poxy Philips MP3 player...
That's what we do.
Well, I mean, I'm afraid that's got to be our gadget. It's either that or some sort of thing for putting your iPod on or whatever.
More discussion about adding images to the podcast and...
Oh, I know.
A suggestion. I quite like this from George saying, we could add chapters. That'd be nice. You go straight to the news... You know, straight to the tweets.
Oh, really?
You know, that'd be good.
We don't want people skipping bits.
Okay. Well, someone has also said something along those lines. On artwork, thank you, Matthew Elner. When you download the podcast directly on an iPhone, it always has artwork. Because you said, you know, we've been doing it and we've been wondering why it hasn't worked. However, if you download it on the PC and sync it across, it does not. Hope that helps in diagnosing the problem.
Yeah, it never comes up on my.
So we'll have
Mac
to
at
send
home.
That to someone who understands these things.
Someone that is
also, much love for Kindle for Gadget of the Year. Matt Naylor says, even my dad picked his up straight away. And Leon Fenner, my mum likes it. So there we go. I think
pretty conclusive evidence that the Kindle's going to sweep the boards.
Yeah, the award made it. Right there.
I think there's a fantastic promotional video, and I don't know if this bit got used or not, but I picked the Kindle as.
Did you?
It's not my gadget of the year, but I picked it as my dark horse for what might win.
Oh, yeah. You should check out the video. We've done a video of hot picks from the T3 team of who we think is going to win the gadget of the year.
It's all us looking very thoughtful and going...
Yeah.
Yeah, some great.
Have you
great
done it on a white background,
like,
kind of Apple style in some sort of sanitized office, and you're all wearing
it's all very head and shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not even shoulders, really.
No, it's just
heads. Literally
heads.
Talking heads in front of a kind of
grey
abstract
chromium,
lighting kind of background. Ooh, chromium, if you please. Chromium.
Get there. Get you.
Duncan, you look like a Mexican.
Well, that's my my tash at the moment.
Mm,
I'm going more for Lemmy than Mexican.
And you've got that shirt
on. My holiday shirt.
Yeah.
If you want to join the chat...
Check out my shirt.
First of all, check out Duncan's shirt. If you want to join the chat, it's now the official T3 podcast group. So search for that, and you'll find where everyone is converging from miles around. Right, Gadget of the Week. Got there.
It's the PlayStation 4. No, it's not.
iPhone 7.
It's coming, kids.
This week is a scooter, actually.
Ah, this is the scooter you...
Yeah, here it is.
Well, you better explain.
Well, it's the Piaggio Yorban. It's a good one. It's a 300cc...
When you say scooter, we're talking a proper
300cc scooter, and it's got two wheels on the front, so it's a trike.
Okay.
So you can drive this on your driver's license. You don't have to do your CBT test or anything. So you can drive it straight away, and they're doing this thing called MP3 tours across the UK where you can go along and drive this scooter... Mm-hmm. Just on your driver's license.
Happened when you drove this scooter?
All right, I'm gonna tell the story. I got on the scooter. I've never driven a scooter before in my life. Got on the 300cc, which is really powerful,
it's
I'm told.
Reasonably powerful, yeah.
And it was really heavy. So the guy was like, right, I'm going to take the stabilizers off. So,
what?
You know, like, because when the bike's standing up, it's... standing up.
It didn't have two little wheels coming out the back.
He'll take the stand.
Take the stand, okay. But it's not... Stand off. It's an electronic stand. It's got
That is a good thing to do before you start driving.
I imagine.
Anybody listening, always take off the stand before you attempt to drive.
So there is, he's like, right, can you take the weight of the bike? And I was like... Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine. Mm. Obviously, there was no power. There wasn't any like forward motion. I was like, yeah, that's fine. I could do that. He's like, right, okay. So he started me off. He's like, here's the... Blah, blah, blah. I literally went 100 yards and then I heard a shout, you haven't told her how to stop! And I was like, oh my gosh. So I put the brakes on. I just collapsed. Sideways.
What?
With
what's
a bike
stopping?
On top of me.
So you just brake and put your foot down?
No, but the thing is you brake and then you have to put the stabilisers on.
Don't put your foot down.
You don't put your foot down. Well, as you stop.
Yeah.
That's what they do at the lights, isn't it?
Stop.
And once you've stopped sufficiently.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd stopped and then basically I couldn't hold the weight of the bike and I just collapsed.
That's quite funny because I thought the one thing that I really like about those ones with two wheels at the front is I'd assume they'd be uncollapsible.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Oh. But these
but you found a way.
Sideways.
So did you manage to damage this scooter?
I hit a car because I fell into a car.
Was this on a public road?
Yeah, in Camden.
This is very ill thought out. Have you spoken to your like insurance and legal people? You should be like, "Oh, I've got terrible whiplash since my life was endangered by these PR people. Oh, I can barely look every time I do that.
Sarah, can't do the podcast.
The nightmares you're having as well.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
Trauma. Yeah, you could get thousands.
Just not
of
bricks
pounds.
For long, just loads of scooters.
They could just give you a scooter.
Yeah,
free scooter.
But it is fun. I got the hang of it in the end, and it is really good fun.
Okay.
So if you want to do it,
what's it called? The
Piaggio Yorban.
What?
Yorban, like Yorban.
Is it meant to be a bit of a thing on urban?
It's your urban, so Yorban.
Why do companies do that? So stop it.
So it's like Yo Urban.
Yeah.
Yo Urban.
Yeah, it is.
But it's meant
urban.
To be your urban.
Yeah. Well, Yo means your.
Oh. I imagine.
So, yeah, but check out MP3 Tours. You can have a go if you feel so inclined.
All right. So what? So other people can fall off this thing.
Other people
to.
Can fall off the thing all across the UK.
Brilliant. Now, all art is plagiarism, and video game design is no exception. Does that new game feel like you've been here before? It's probably because you've played it already. T3 has been looking at the most overused game plots. Ree, your favourite from these.
I can't remember mine.
I see what you're doing there. Very good.
I know, I was doing a joke.
Yeah,
one.
If you could flag them a bit better in
okay,
the future.
Okay, fine, whatever. So it's...
Perhaps literally raise a flag.
Yeah, like Ree is doing a joke.
Yeah, we can all prepare.
You can put on a hat. Put on a funny hat as you say the joke. And then
So losing your memory.
Losing my memory. I just don't understand. People just land in like weird places and they're like, who am I? Where have I been? What should I do?
Oh, the mystery. And then, of course, you've got to spend the game finding out who
finding
you are.
Yeah, finding out. I'm like, I can't be bothered.
Quite often like, a morgue. Like in... the first game that did that, I hope it's on this piece of paper here, so I wouldn't look like an idiot.
BioShock? No, you didn't end up.
Shadowrun. Isn't that where you wake up in the morning? That was like the granddaddy of games where you can't remember who
that's it, because there's always one that kicks it all off.
Yeah.
And then
it just starts.
And then it gets copied endlessly.
The interesting thing is, though, that most of the games that use that plot are actually pretty good. BioShock, Shadowrun, Bayonetta, Prototype, I'm not familiar, Alone in the Dark.
Alone in the Dark.
The Witch, I don't know.
But I imagine that's great.
Alone in the Dark's old school. That's the original, that goes way back.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Like us.
That was truly scary.
Alone in the Dark?
Yeah.
Yeah, that and Silent Hill were the...
Silent Hill was scary.
I preferred Reservoir Dogs. Resident Evil, because it was funnier.
In Reservoir Dogs, you just walk up and down with your mates in a line. Yeah. That's the game.
And then chop somebody's ear off. Yeah. And that's the end.
Brilliant. Dunk, what have you got?
Well, the quintessential repeating game plot, which is a lady has been kidnapped, as it's described here.
Perhaps some sort of princess.
Well, obviously, Super Mario.
No.
Or Mario, as he's known to his friends. He's a serial offender in this respect.
Yeah. I mean, what, kidnapping that poor.
But the games.
All right.
Obviously,
right.
Bowser is the serial offender.
What's particularly annoying about Mario is that you've kind of almost rescue her at every level.
Yes.
And then she's whisked away.
By a laughing sort of dragon reptile thing. And then obviously at the start of every game, they become increasingly... I haven't really played Mario Galaxy 2, but the bit where she's kidnapped in Mario Galaxy 1 is actually quite unpleasant and disturbing and sort of involves a kind of semi-genocide in which the Toad people are all but wiped out by a kind of artillery shelling from Bowser's kind of big floating pirate ship.
It's quite harsh.
And it's like something from an actual war or something. So so I found that a bit off-putting, to be honest. But then
a family-friendly game.
Yeah.
The other classic, of course, Double Dragon, where you slightly sexistly have to find your girlfriend, and then obviously you brought your mate along, and presumably she's not also his girlfriend. So he's just a mate, or is he like...
He's your wingman.
Is he your brother or something? Or maybe it is some kind of... disgusting thing. Three-way thing.
Only you, Duncan.
I do like in that game, the best thing about the game is the way they walk down the street, because obviously they're meant to be like strutting, but it is kind of a mince.
It's a bit mincy.
Take that. And you sort of pick up that people would drop weapons, and one of the weapons was like a whip. But it wasn't even like a big impressive looking bullwhip. It was a slightly sort of, ooh, take that. Me and my friend here are going to mince along.
I think I've got to go with Tetris and all other iterations. Yeah. Columns, Dr. Mario, etc., etc.
Things where things fall down.
Yeah.
What's the one with the balloons? I like the one with the balloons. It's like an offshoot of Bubble Bobble, in as much as it has those two dragons from Bubble Bobble.
That's good. What I like?
Okay, thanks, guys.
That one, yeah.
Great one.
Pang. That wasn't that one. That was a different one, but I like Pang.
Bejeweled as well. That was
Bejeweled,
I was a bit addicted to that on my palm. The thing is, they're all essentially the same game, yet Nintendo could get away with selling you a Game Boy with Tetris already coming with it, and then selling you Dr. Mario.
Yeah.
Which was the...
Just the same.
It was just a slight twist on the concept.
Well, I suppose people love the concept, and then,
it's easy to play,
because it's never literally
it?
The same.
Yeah. No.
Apart from all the various... Oh, there's lots of ones that are just literally clones of Tetris. Yeah. But it's always slightly... It's always like, we have to match this jewel with this
new
jewel,
edge.
Or this shape into this shape, and...
You have to line these colours
people,
up. And...
Okay.
You have to shoot these balloons in this game.
Well, there's a whole raft of these on teeth.com, so you can go and spend hours of games past... checking out all these exciting concepts.
Yes. Somebody please tweet in and tell me what the name of that game was.
The balloon.
Something Bobble. I'm sure, because it was related to Bubble Bobble.
But it wasn't Bubble Bobble. Okay. We'll find out for next week. Get on the Facebook group. Let us know. But that is about all for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and on the iPad. And we are on iTunes every Friday. So next week then, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.